This weekend, somewhere around 25,000 people will be converging upon our city. They'll all be participating in one of the Go St. Louis events, either the 5K tomorrow in Forest Park or the full marathon and the half marathon on Sunday. Is there anyone here this morning who's participating in any of these events? Just curious. Got one up here. I'll be out there too. And this will be my first half marathon, attempting my first half marathon, and for my wife Heidi as well. I've got this elaborate race strategy for the 13.1 miles. I call it slow and steady finishes the race. We'll see. One of the things that makes it possible to run in an event like this is the refreshment that you receive along the way. Maybe a cup of cold water, some Gatorade from a volunteer, maybe some encouragement from a bystander or a running partner, maybe some good tunes on your MP3 player, some snacks or jelly beans or something like that that you bring along to give you a little boost to get you to the end. One of the things that helps people finish a race like this is that rest and refreshment waiting just on the other side of the finish line. A cold drink to toast to your accomplishments, some smoothies or bananas or the smorgasbord of other snacks that'll kind of get you recuperated after the long haul of the race. So there's real refreshment waiting for you at the end, but there are also little tastes of it along the way. When our text from Acts chapter 3, which Dean just shared with us, Peter makes the most of a teaching moment in the temple. After restoring a crippled beggar to the mobility of a marathoner, all in the name of the resurrected Jesus, Peter then addresses this awestruck audience. He pointedly preaches Christ crucified and resurrected. He shows them their sin of killing Jesus, the author of life, and he shows them their Savior, this same Jesus whom God raised from the dead. And then Peter proclaims three gifts that God gives to his repentant children, to those who turn in faith toward Christ, whom they killed and God raised. Peter says, "Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." God's first gift is the erasing of your sins. He's saying that none of your sins are indelible before God. They can be removed so completely as if God was simply swiping them off the chalkboard. And what's so amazing is that Peter is saying these words of forgiveness to those who had just sent Jesus to his cross. And if their sin of murdering the author of life can be blotted out, then God can forgive your sin, your contribution to crucifying the Christ. Even your hidden habits, even your shortcomings toward your fellow members of this body of Christ, this community, even the regrets for which you struggle to forgive yourself. All of these are serious sins, and yet none of these can withstand God's forgiveness. So whatever your sins are, repent of them and trust that when God erases something, he leaves no trace behind. The second of God's gifts to his repentant children is what Peter calls times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. One of the things that I actually retained to this day from my high school English classes was some understanding of prefixes, because they were kind of hammered into us. And I remember that the prefix RE that we have three times in this text indicates something about going back again. So Peter is saying that God grants times of refreshing for strengthening you, for recharging you, getting you back to how God created you to be. He gives rest and recreation for your body. He gives spiritual refreshment for your soul. A timely sermon here, a memorable devotion there, some encouragement from another member of the body of Christ, someone pointing out your strengths and how they see God at work in you. And in my case, it's that refreshing recognition that I'm blessed to be part of this class of future pastors and deaconesses who will work together and who will expand the kingdom of God in the communities to which He calls them. That's refreshing. But the only downside to times of refreshing is how short-lived they can be. At a social gathering, all the refreshments get drained down and gobbled up. Or along the race route, you get a small dose of refreshment, only enough to get you to the next water table. And in our case, we're spiritually refreshed through our brief encounters with God's Word and through the Lord's table and through the presence of one another in this community in the few short years that we have to spend together. But then our minds tend to wander, and then our bodies tire, and our spirits fade as we all go back out again and continue running our own courses. And yet, the refreshment we've received, momentary as it might have been, is not in vain. Each of these times of refreshing anticipates God's third and greatest gift, the gift that Christ will bring when He returns in majesty. Peter puts it this way: God will send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets long ago. So Christ will reappear and fulfill God's message of restoration, of reversal, spoken by the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. Raised from the grave and restored to life again, Christ is the demonstration of God's restorative abilities. And the formerly crippled beggar clinging to Peter as he proclaims this gospel message offers yet another glimpse of God's restorative power. And on top of that, each time of refreshment that we receive anticipates that day when Christ returns and this old creation is rolled away as the new creation is unveiled and the curse is reversed. Christ is coming soon to refresh the weary, to resurrect the dead, and to restore the creation. And on that day, what God did for His Son on that Easter dawn will be experienced by all of us. You've been awaiting that final restoration since God first gave you that rebirth and renewal in the waters of baptism. And when God finally carries you over that finish line, as that last day dawns, you'll get to run around praising God, not unlike that crippled beggar when he had been made whole. Because in that twinkling of an eye, you'll receive renewed bodies and souls and refreshed minds and hearts and restored relationships with the Lord and with one another. Let's take a deep breath this morning. A minute. Be refreshed. And whether you're running or walking or just crawling toward any finish lines this weekend or simply pushing forward in the course of your life and work and seminary, thank the Lord for those times and those tastes of refreshment that He gives along the way. as he helps you anticipate Christ coming soon to restore everything, including you and me. In Jesus' name, amen.